Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, the 7th of August. Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Jane Ayeko. Comment.
And I'm Eunice Onjiro from social media.
Coming up in today's program, in a matter of hours, Kenyans will be going to polls to elect a new president. Some voters are looking forward to taking part in an election that has raised tensions in the country and possible fraud.
Exactly at 3 a.m., we'll be out with our whistle.
I will not go back to the house. I will stick at the polling station until the last minute I ensure that the votes are counted.
And we'll bring you an exclusive interview with the main opposition leader, Raila Odinga.
In the event that the decision fails, we have informed our supporters not to vote, not to participate until it is rectified.
And I'll be reading your comments on the stories we'll be covering.
Stay tuned for all that and a lot more to come. But first, here is what's been happening around the world.
I'm Sertan Sanderson with DW News. Researchers say that global warming might be advancing at a faster speed than previously thought. Experts at the University of Washington in Seattle found out that the chance for humans to limit global warming to no more than 2 degrees Celsius by the year 2050 is only 5%. The Paris Climate Agreement, signed by 195 countries last year, had sought to place a lower limit on climate change at 1.5 degrees Celsius. An upcoming parliamentary vote of no confidence against South African President Jacob Zuma will be held by secret ballot tomorrow. The move came after the Speaker of Parliament, Baleka Mbete, had refused last month to have the vote done in secret, resulting in opposition parties taking the issue to court. Mbete announced in Parliament earlier today that she had changed her mind after taking all things into consideration.
Having considered all the factors and mindful of the fact that this decision is not setting a precedent, I therefore determine that voting on the motion of no confidence in the President on the 8th of August 2017 will be by secret ballot.
The issue has become a test of unity for the African National Congress, or ANC, as senior party figures have been increasingly critical of their leader, who has a total of 783 criminal corruption charges pending against him. The move could encourage more ANC lawmakers to vote to oust Zuma, but is seen as unlikely to succeed in toppling the president, who has survived 5 previous no-confidence votes. Public support for the ANC, which swept into power under Nelson Mandela in the first non-racial elections in 1994, slipped to 55% under Zuma's leadership in last year's local polls, the worst ever result. You're listening to DW News. About 20 million Kenyans go to the polls tomorrow to elect a new president, vice president, National Assembly, Senate, and various local and regional officials. The elections are overshadowed by sporadic violence, including the brutal murder of Christopher Musando, a senior manager of information technology for the National Election Commission. Incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta and opposition leader Raila Odinga have accused each other of fueling tensions in the wake of the unsolved murder, with observers fearing a potential breakout of violence in due course, as was seen in elections 10 years ago. More than 1,000 Kenyans died in clashes after the 2007 vote. Congolese security forces have killed at least 14 members of the separatist Bundu dia Kongo, or BDK sect, during clashes in the capital Kinshasa and in the southwestern city of Matadi. The number is expected to rise as onlookers were reported to have been hit by stray gunfire. The clashes followed an attack by BDK members on Kinshasa's main prison and several demonstrations against Democratic Republic of Congo President Joseph Kabila in various cities. Tensions have been on the rise in the DRC since President Kabila refused to step down from power after his mandate expired in December last year. And for more news and information, please go to dw.com. I'm Sertan Sanderson.
This is Africa Link, broadcasting from DW Studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet.
And I'm Eunice Onjiro.
We start the program in Kenya. In a matter of hours, Kenyans will go to polls to vote for the next president, members of parliament, governors, senators, and county assembly representatives. There is a lot of anxiety in the country. Some people have been stocking food while others have left the city for rural areas. Incumbent President Uhuru Kenyatta is confident he will win another term, while the opposition runner Raila Amolo Odinga hopes that the August 8th election will be his chance to become the president. DW's Andrew Wasike brings us the general mood in the country ahead of the elections.
Thank you for your grace upon their lives, my Father God.
Kenya's main presidential candidates spent the last hours before polls open attending to private matters and family. Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta sought divine intervention in quest for another re-election and a peaceful election.
Na tuko hapa pia.
We are here to ask God to give us peaceful elections and a winner whom he will choose through Kenyan citizens and their votes.
Opposition leader Raila Odinga, his main rival, chose to spend time with his family that included grandchildren at a merry-go-round hub and also interacted with Kenyans on non-political issues.
It was good, it was nice. I felt taken back, generations back to my youth.
Some Kenyans I spoke to, like Dennis Onyango, told me that they will wake up very early in the morning and head to the polling stations.
I am among those people who stay in slums, but we have agreed that exactly at 3 a.m. we'll be out with our whistle so that we wake up those people who are not. We will be passed by sleep.
Yeah, I'm prepared for tomorrow's election. And I will wake up very early in the morning, go vote. Then follow the proceedings from there. I will not go back to the house. I will stick at the polling station till the last minute. I ensure that the votes are counted. I want to vote for Raila Amolo Odinga.
I'm optimistic that the elections will go well and there won't be violence. I will vote for Kenyatta's Jubilee Party. I'm a supporter of Jubilee Party because I think this party is so far the best.
Halima Osman says that, unlike others, she will support a presidential candidate who is not among the popular candidates and scored less than 5% in popularity polls.
I will be voting. I think I'll be voting for Abduba because I kind of had that. If there is a Muslim candidate on the ballot, it will be haram. It's not allowed for you to be voting for a non-Muslim or we have a Muslim candidate in the ballot. Yeah, I'm excited. And like other Kenyans, I think I'll also be waking up early in the morning.
The distribution of electoral materials from the headquarters in Nairobi has already started under heavy security. Over 150,000 police officers have been deployed to oversee the election processes.
Now, Jane, there have been a lot of comments coming in from this story about Kenya and the elections. I'll read two for now, but we'll come back to that later. We have Moses Mwangi from Nairobi, Kenya, who's saying, right here in Kenya, we are going on with business as usual. Let nobody lie to you that the situation is tense. So it looks like in this part where he is, he feels like the situation is quite calm. And also Tito, who's also in Nairobi, saying mood is relatively calm in Nairobi.
It has some bit of relevance to what we just heard from that report by Andrew Wasike in Nairobi. We still remain in Kenya and we meet one of the presidential contenders, Raila Amolo Odinga. He's a big name in Kenya. The 72-year-old is Kenya's seasonal politician, having run for presidency 4 times and served as a prime minister once. This time round, he is the candidate for Kenya's super alliance, NASA, running against the incumbent president, Uhuru Kenyatta. DW's Catherine Omwando has been speaking to Odinga about the upcoming elections and the security situation in the country.
The current IBC has given assurance to the country that this time the evidence are going to work. But then with the assassination of the officer, Mr. Chris Musando, who was in charge of this system and who gave Kenyans assurance on live television that the things of the system is not going to fail. We still have our doubts and our misgivings. All that we have said is that in the event that the system fails, we have informed our supporters not to vote, not to participate until it is rectified.
There's also the issue of security agents being deployed during this election period. You have often accused them of siding with the government. Do you not feel that brings some sort of fear among people, among Kenyans?
The government has created an artificial fear among the people. They've been talking about some people intending to cause violence. We don't know who these people are because Kenyans are very peaceful. The campaigns have been very peaceful. every Kenyan is very, very eager to go and vote. But I think it is basically serves the interest of the government to have an excuse to deploy the security forces in order to interfere with free expression of the people's will. That's the reason why they're getting the security forces out.
Kenya's opposition leader Raila Odinga speaking to DW's Catherine Omwando.
We'll come with more responses after the next report.
North Korea has condemned the United Nations Security Council sanctions over its missile tests. The country has also vowed to retaliate against the United States, adding that they will not hold any negotiations while being threatened. The sanctions were passed over the weekend unanimously. Rhoda Odhiambo with the details.
Pyongyang state media called the sanctions a violent violation of the country's sovereignty and said they will respond. On Monday, residents of Pyongyang expressed their government's fierce rejection of the latest UN sanctions. Ri Gang-chol is one of them.
The U.S. is doing so much now with these extremely intensified sanctions and its military threats against our country, at the same time as it is saying that our successful test launch of an ICBM is a threat to the world. This all just makes our army and people more worked up, and it's going to make our country do more to increase our nuclear weapons capability.
The resolution, which has caused an uproar, is targeting North Korea's primary exports, including iron, coal, lead, and seafood. These sanctions will slash the country's annual export revenue by at least $1 billion. South Korea's presidential spokesman Park Sung-hyun says the sanctions will help their North counterparts to change their behavior.
Moon 대통령은 중국 및 러시아와 협조하여
President Moon noted that the United Nations had adopted the toughest and unprecedented sanctions on North Korea, endorsed by China and Russia. He hoped the resolution will be a chance to induce a change in North Korea's behavior.
계기가 되기를 기대한다고 하였습니다.
Australia, Japan, and the U.S. are calling on the international community to pressurize North Korea to abandon its missile tests. They said the new sanctions should be strictly implemented.
Rhoda Odhiambo reporting. Now you need some of those comments about Kenyan elections coming from your home country.
Yes, as I promised, we're going to read some of your comments. We had a lot of comments coming in actually through WhatsApp. And someone by the name of Chijioke says that, you know, she's saying this is always the case that African elections, the so-called leaders say that they will deliver, but they don't deliver. So he's saying they keep Africa behind. And we also have Barad Muhammad from Nigeria who is saying that if the violence igniters won't abide by Kenya's rules and regulations, then it is a high time for the Kenyan government to let its soldiers take action on anyone caught. This might tend to trigger violence, and by so doing, it will cause fear on the others who tend to start any act of violence. That's what he says.
And there is somebody called Tushime John from Rwanda who says it's shameful when Westerners see that there is democracy when people have to fight. Recently in Rwanda elections, there was no democracy to them just because people didn't fight. This is his own observation on people's perception on what democracy is all about in Africa.
Yes, and we also have some positive comments. One of them is from Mumuni Razak from Ghana. He's saying, I know Kenya will pull this off and make Africa proud. Well, it has been unusually quiet on our Facebook page, but on Twitter there have been handles like Kenya Decides and Kenya Decides 2017, Kenya Twaweza, which are trending. And we'll come back to that since time doesn't allow us now.
Of course, as we heard from Andrew's piece there, people are very excited. There's kind of mixed reactions there. Some people are certainly very anxious, some people are afraid, but everything seems to be well. And we do keep our fingers crossed that to come tomorrow, everything goes on smoothly.
Oh, yes, we do.
This is DW's Africa Link program, broadcasting from our studios in Bonn, Germany. I'm Jane Ayeko-Kumet.
And I'm Eunice Wanjiru.
Our top story today, Kenyans ready for general elections, but fear of possible violence has forced some to flee the country.
Me and my family of 3 children and 2 cousins and husband have moved to Uganda as temporary residents until after elections when the situation is really normal.
And World Breastfeeding Week ends today. We'll get to hear your reactions on what you think about exclusive breastfeeding.
But first, no taking chances. That's the message of some many Kenyans fleeing their country to neighboring Uganda. Given the high tensions ahead of tomorrow's election, they foresee a repeat of 2007, where post-election violence in which over thousands of people died and displaced were many, or millions rather. As Frank Yiga reports from Kampala, Ugandan authorities say there is no cause for alarm and are ready to welcome anybody seeking refuge in Uganda.
The Uganda-Kenya border post in the past 5 days has been a busy hive of vehicles and humans crossing over to Uganda for safety in fear of post-election violence in Kenya. Worried of the repeat of the 2007 post-Kenyan election violence that left the country in turmoil, the Kenyans who crossed to Uganda I was able to talk to say that they are not willing to take any chances. Philomene Maina, a Kikuyu by tribe, said that similar to previous elections, she has always sought refuge in Uganda to avoid being caught up in a possible violence.
Me and my family of 3 children and 2 cousins and husband have moved to Uganda as temporary residents until after elections when the situation is really normal. I'm not saying that there's going to be violence in Kenya, but you never know what might happen. Actually, there are many of us at the border coming to Uganda from Kenya.
Top on agenda during the weekly press briefing at the police headquarters in Kampala was the Kenyan general elections and the security at the border of Malaba. The Uganda police spokesperson Asan Kasinje told DW that the security deployment at the Uganda-Kenya border is the usual routine check. Therefore, no cause for alarm for whatever situation.
We do not have any specific threat involving Kenyans in their own country before, during and after elections. However, as you know, our country is a country that welcomes everybody. And if there is anybody who thinks that he wants to come to this country during elections, they are free to do that.
I caught up with Jacob Siminyu, the spokesperson of the Minister of Internal Affairs, who say that Uganda immigration records indicate that Kenyans crossing to Uganda this time round are majorly on family visits and not asylum.
While it's true that some Kenyans have crossed to Uganda, the numbers of those who have crossed are not warranting concern. And there is nothing to cause alarm. Approximately 200 Kenyans per day for the 3 days is regarded as normal travel, because that is what has been the statistics. There hasn't been any variation between what the Kenyans who have been crossing to Uganda and those who are crossing now.
A report by Frank Yiga in Kampala, Uganda.
And Isaac Ahosa-Godwin commented on this. He's saying that although the campaign fight seems tough and rigid, he can still feel a real a realm of calmness among Kenyans. So they should just hold on and observe a little. So, you know, this calmness is also being felt by other people in the other countries. And another one from The Nash on Facebook, he or she says that Raila is 72 years old. He needs to go to his farm and rest. This habit of people fighting for presidency like it's their inheritance needs to stop. Africa needs fresh blood and most definitely fresh ideas. If they really do care about us and this continent, people like Odinga should be grooming younger people to lead instead of trying to kill themselves or on these hectic campaign trails. But of course, this is Africa. It's never over till it's over. Sad.
Well, those are Nash's comments. We shall leave the Kenyans to decide who they want to be their next president.
Health check.
Now, breast milk is best for your baby, and the benefits of breastfeeding extend well beyond basic nutrition. Pediatrics suggest that in addition to containing all the vitamins and nutrients that babies need, breast milk is packed with disease-fighting substances, thus protecting your baby from illness. And that's not all, it's also good for a mother's health too. But in today's world of hustling with work demands, how many mothers are able to breastfeed their babies for at least 2 years recommended? Moki Kinseka takes a look at the situation in Cameroon.
Breastfeeding, a 13-letter word that means life or death to newborn babies, is a subject that most people don't like talking about, let alone seeing a woman breastfeed in public. Giselle Ngono, a 21-year-old mother of two, stopped breastfeeding her son at 6 weeks because she had to work. She is a trader at Yaoundé Market. Ngono stopped breastfeeding her baby despite knowing the importance of exclusively breastfeeding her child for 6 months.
I'm working. It will not be easy for me to just breastfeed this child. I'm supposed to go and look for money for him to eat now. Am I supposed to stay there home? How is he going to eat? How is he going to do? To pay maybe this or that? How?
Each time Ngono goes to work, she leaves her son with a babysitter who feeds him with a meal called pap. Pap is a porridge usually made with maize meal. A study carried out by the Cameroon Medical Council last year showed that 70% of mothers do not breastfeed their children exclusively. It explains that many mothers have no time to breastfeed because they have to concentrate on their jobs, while others say that feeding their babies with breast milk alone will make their kids weak and lazy when they become of age. Patricia Kenyoy, who works with the Family Welfare Department in the Health Ministry, told DW that mothers should be allowed to stay home for 6 months after they deliver.
It's difficult for women to have their children in the offices, given that it also depends on the kind of activity the woman is exercising. It might not necessarily be work in the office. What if she's working all around in the fields? And then if she has to bring a child, she will require someone to help out. Those are some of the constraints.
Breastfeeding mothers in Cameroon are usually given 2 months maternity leave. After leave, they are given 2 hours each working day for 4 months to go home and breastfeed. Pediatrician Abangmo Suzanne, who practices at Yaoundé General Hospital, advises mothers to feed their babies nothing but breast milk at least for the first 6 months.
It has all the food nutrients. It is cheap and always available at the right temperature so that the baby can feed on demand. It brings comfort to the mother. That is creating the relationship from mother to the child. A mom that does not breastfeed her child, the tendency is that that baby may not get all the antibodies from the mother. The baby is exposed to infections.
The report by the World Health Organization and the UNICEF shows that the lives of newborn babies under the age of 6 months could be saved if they were breastfed exclusively for 6 months.
Moki Kinseka in Cameroon. Now, Eunice, how is breastfeeding back home? If you could just reflect for a moment, what happens to the ladies down in the village?
Well, I think they breastfeed a lot. It's just that sometimes they have to go and work or to the farm, and it happens that they feel like they don't have time to keep breastfeeding their children the whole time. So they also tend to turn to other means of feeding their babies. But I think they still think breastfeeding is a good thing that they should be doing.
Well, in my village, ladies carry their babies to the gardens as well. I must say the babies in my village are still lucky.
Yes, definitely. And World Breastfeeding Week, like I said, ended today. It started on August 1st until today. It's a vibrant global movement for action to promote, protect and support breastfeeding by anyone, anywhere and at any time. And we have some comments coming in on this
issue.
Yes, Washington from Zimbabwe says, a significant number of mothers in my hometown are very ignorant about exclusive breastfeeding for their babies below 6 months. This is caused partially by the nurses in the area who do not adhere to the instruction on their own when they have babies.
We have someone from Ghana who didn't give us his name. He's saying breastfeeding is continuous in his country and babies go to up to 1.5 years or 2 years before breastfeeding even stops. And in rural areas, it is extended up to 3 years. He's saying, I personally was breastfed for 3 good years, so exclusive breastfeeding cannot be sighed out in our soil because it's considered a tradition. And if not, at a certain date, the baby's life and their sisters will claim back the babies. So this is someone who's encouraging breastfeeding.
It's also interesting, Eunice, I was looking at all the people who were commenting. And one thing that shocked me was, seems like it's the men who are mostly commenting about
yes.
this.
Oh, yes, it is mostly the men who are sending their comments to us.
Just like John Akari from Nairobi says, I think we need health promotion approaches that will ensure a follow-up. Otherwise, the situation now is marked with complementary feeding.
It's good to see that the men are also seeing breastfeeding is an important thing. We have Ashraf Athuman from Tanzania who's saying it is very important to breastfeed the baby up to 6 months since the milk contains all requirements for growth, development, immunity and bonding. And communities should be educated to prevent malnutrition and complications associated with it.
So much for breastfeeding for now. But now let's go to sports. Netherlands are the new champions for Europe's women's champions, I mean, after beating Denmark 4-2 in a thrilling final. Now, DW Sports editor Chuck Penfold joins me to discuss the latest in the sporting world. And we start with a review of Saturday match between Dortmund and FC Bayern. Despite putting up a strong fight, Dortmund lost to FC Bayern, making Bayern win the Super Cup 6 times in a row. Take a listen.
Bayern didn't have the greatest preparation this season. A bit of controversy about having a very long, very grueling trip to Asia. They were both in China and Singapore. I think they played 4 games in 12 days or something. So there's been a lot of talk about Bayern's preparation not being optimal, at least on the field. It's always that tension between marketing, trying to grow your brand and getting ready for the season. Dortmund were also away, I believe, in Asia, but a little earlier. But both teams were also playing without, I think, about 7 regulars were unavailable for this game. The interesting thing to me in this game was the first time they used the video review in Germany.
Yeah.
And it didn't go all that well.
Yeah.
Because the first Bayern goal, it looked like it was an offside position, and they reviewed it and with the video assistant referees in Cologne. But there was a technical problem. So normally, as a viewer, you would have expected to see that line that comes up on the screen to say, okay,
yeah,
it wasn't offside, but that never happened. Had the presenters of the program and everybody scratching their heads.
Yeah, so much of Bayern and Dortmund. But that's not all. Let's go to London and discuss a little bit of athletics. Now, Usain Bolt had a not-so-good performance marking the end of his sprinting career after he only managed to come third. But that's not all. There is still the relay to come. Can we expect the real Usain Bolt this time around?
That's hard to say. You know, the interesting thing about that 100 meters on Saturday was that he was beaten by a guy 5 years older than him, Gatlin, and Gatlin's an American who got booed pretty mercilessly on Saturday by the London crowd because, of course, he was banned twice for doping. It's interesting to see he's 5 years older than Bolt and winning that race. You know, Bolt will give it his all, but I sort of get the impression he's found just about the right time to retire.
And let's continue, still remain there. And it's not been so easy for countries to win medals. At least this is my impression. Germany just got its first medal after Caroline Schaefer's win. But African teams are not doing so badly. I mean, we have Kenya there that is already scooping four more medals. And Ethiopia has 3, 2 for South Africa, among others. Now, how are these teams performing? How would you rate their performance?
Well, after day 3, so after Sunday's action, you've got African teams in 3 of the top 4 places after the United States. The number 2 is Ethiopia, then Kenya, then South Africa. The Kenyans great in the marathon, of course. Jeffrey Kipro winning it for Kenya. Another Kenyan woman, or a Kenyan woman, also won the women's side of the marathon, Rose Chilimo.
Yes.
However, she is not didn't bring home a Kenyan medal. Let's put it that way. She is now competing for Bahrain.
Chuck Penfold with that sports update. And for our top story today, Kenyans have been saying,
Kenya Twaweza, which means Kenya we can.
That's a good way to end today's program. From me, Jen Ayeko Kemet.
And Eunice Wanjiru.
Thank you for listening to Africa Link. That's all we had time for.